Gosh, these guys are two of the biggest names in the World Wrestling Federation. Next month, they'll be trying to take the belt away from the Ultimate Warrior at SummerSlam. Let's hear it for Ravishing Rick Rude and Bobby the Brain Heenan. Stop applauding.
I got a bone to pick with you, Arsenio.
Well, sit down and let's...
I like to stand up when I pick my bones.
Okay. You know, can I just say one thing? It's interesting how early they stopped applauding, because when the Ultimate Warrior was here, they applauded for like a long time and they barked and... I didn't know whether you saw the show, you know, whatever.
He likes to start this trouble. Needless to say, the people appreciate the Ultimate Warrior. But you know, Arsenio, I heard them cheering when Madonna backed you up against the wall, too, brother.
Well, I figured...
And let me tell you something right out front. When a woman challenges you to give her a spanking, you lay her ass over this couch and you lay into her, Arsenio. Do I need to tell you that? Now we'll sit.
Baby oil and blow, baby oil and blow.
It's very dirgy.
It's a wrestling show.
Depressing.
About 80s. That's like that garbage song.
Mm-hmm.
From the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
Okay, number one crush?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good soundtrack, Matt.
It has its moments, you know?
You know what else I like about that movie?
Dave Grohl's favorite band, Cardigans, and their hit song, Loveful?
Yeah, but I was going to go with John Leguizamo.
Oh, I was going to bring up Johnny Liggs.
That was like John Leguizamo. He was coming up at that time, and it was like, how far could this guy go? That's not so sure.
I want to say it's pre-House of Buggin'.
He's starring in The Pest?
Yeah, it's post-Pest.
He's doing like these dramatic roles in Baz Luhrmann movies?
Ooh,
what are his limitations?
None.
Yeah, it turns out none.
Except branching into mainstream success.
Over the course of their career, actors obviously have to make a lot of choices.
Yeah.
Some great, some that...
not so great.
And some... Well, you... I did not realize this. I knew you had been in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, shh.
I read this.
No, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it
but
now.
But was it with Bob Hoskins?
Yes.
The late Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper. So fantastic.
The late Dennis Hopper.
My acting, I think,
got rid of them, too.
Oh, no, I don't think so. But those are two guys. You know, of course you would do them. But you you turned down a role in the film Philadelphia to do Super Mario Brothers.
I was supposed to be Tom Hanks' lover.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't think he was good-looking enough for me.
Okay.
I wanted, like, Kevin Costner or Denzel Washington. And so I turned it down for Super Mario Brothers. And then, of course, they all won Oscars. And I won the John, How Could You Be So Stupid award for my wife.
When are we going to get that House of Buggin' Blu-ray, by the way?
Yeah, how does Netflix not stream that yet?
Get some of that fucking... Everybody's out there with all these political agendas these days. Get some organization behind a little House of Buggin' on Blu-ray fucking petition we can put together.
You remember all the skits on that show, like
Homie the Clown, that homeless guy who just had drink his turd juice at the end.
Give me one more.
That one where Jim Carrey was a female weightlifter.
I was curious if you were going to give me three straight Damon Wayans bits.
I was hoping for
Men on Film.
Jim Carrey was also on House of Buggins.
But yeah,
ooh,
Jim Carrey
that was
too.
Dag's go-to.
Yeah, oh hell yeah.
Dag tore it up on
Homeboy
that
Shopping
show.
Network. That
I
was a good
remember
one.
Remember that one, but I don't remember the hook of it.
It was.
I remember they had a hook.
More money, more money, more money.
More money, more money, more money, more.
They fucking spun off the whole idea of Mo' Money into the Damon Wayans movie Mo' Money, which also had Marlon Wayans.
Yep.
And that chick from Clueless who turned into like a right-wing wacko in recent years.
No one saw that coming.
So this week the rundown is going to be brought to us by Mo' Money, I think.
Yeah, but we could talk about ourselves first. It's me, big time, Matt O. With me as always, you're... gonna be?
Where are we going? Which direction?
You could be RVD to my Sabu.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Who's our Bill Alfonso?
Whew. I guess we gotta take applications.
Okay.
I don't feel we really have one yet.
I don't know anybody who's really scrawny and loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Well, you know, we'll put that up on Twitter or something. Whoever wants to come out and just look like they're
hype
a
us.
Florida man hillbilly.
Yeah. I'm thinking we should easily be able to find somebody that fits that profile
take
in Indiana.
Our podcast to a new level.
Just whistling in the background.
Speaking of people who kind of look like random hillbillies.
Oh, you're Nate Adams. I don't think I said your real name.
Scrawny,
hey, Nate.
Hoy hoy.
Yeah.
I understand you took a little trip to Ohio.
Oh, yeah, Cincinnati.
Week. And the last time we were in Ohio.
Not.
It was probably
so
a good,
good
10 years ago when we went to a Ring of Honor show in Dayton,
it
Ohio.
It was your birthday.
The only restaurant we could find open was a McDonald's that had a fat kid dressed like the Crow in it.
No, he was kind of dressed like a baseball fury, I thought, from the Warriors.
Maybe that's true.
Or some kind of cure.
We saw that little six-year-old girl with only one eyeball.
No, she had two. It's just the one of them was kind of Toxic Avenger-y.
She had a gaping, empty eyeball socket because okay. One of them was poked out.
But one of them was like lower than the other.
But you're just thinking that because she didn't have an eye patch over her empty eyeball socket.
Yeah. But like, why was it so much lower than the other one?
Dayton, Ohio, well, I'm telling you right now, horrible town full of mutants, so what's the rest of Ohio look like?
Not as bad as Dayton, surprisingly.
Oh, thank God.
Or at least Cincinnati didn't.
If it was, I wouldn't know what to think.
Don't forget about the other part of that show that was great. It was Ring of Honor, before all you dorks were repping it.
Yeah, it was different dorks back
different
then.
Different dorks. It was about 98 degrees in that barn.
Mm-hmm.
With no air conditioning.
Oh, yeah. That was the end of July. Ooh, gross.
And we were wearing homemade Necro Butcher shirts that said, Butcher's gonna rape you.
Because you gotta support
and
your favorites.
And we weren't the weirdest guys there.
Pretty close. One eyeball girl beat us out.
She had a whole family of, like, Hills Have Eyes
people.
Oh,
yeah. They were definitely a family of Hills Have Eyes mutants. But I was...
One of them was, like, the pinhead.
Being particularly heartbroken that, like, oh, man, somebody didn't watch her enough.
Think somebody had a lobster
to where
claw.
She's already got an eyeball poked out. And she ain't even, like, hit the golden years yet.
Well, there's, like, also...
These
like,
aren't even the salad days of childhood.
There's also a good chance, like, her dad just worked at, like, the local plutonium plant and
oh yeah
she was just born that
making
way
making all sorts of plutonium down there in Ohio from what I understand.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, just a nice town of clean cut respectable people though, huh?
Yeah, we went to the zoo, Cincinnati Zoo. Oh,
that's weird. Why are they keeping all those animals locked up?
Even the animals were not mutants.
You need
so
to let those
that.
Animals live in the wilderness where they're from, in my opinion.
They lead all other zoos in getting endangered animals
they
to bang again.
Lead all other zoos in big rocks that lions sleep on all day until they die.
There's that. There is that.
I don't think I've ever seen a zoo animal move once in my life.
Speaking of,
just walk around and everything looks like it's dead.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it's just like, let's go into the bird fucking house. At least the birds fly around a little bit.
No, I can't do the bird house. That's the most pathetic and sad to me.
Yeah, it's terrible, but at least the birds are moving.
I can't, no. I'd rather see an animal just laying on a rock hoping for death.
I think the reptile house is kind of the worst because it's so stinky.
And they're in
I
those
remember.
Tiny little tanks. It's like
a zoo,
humid in there.
Been a zoo in quite a while. Yeah. But I remember the reptile houses being super stinky.
I see those birds.
Like, it's like ROH venue 10 years ago, 98 degrees inside, stinky. That's how stinky those reptiles
are.
Yeah,
that's another thing. I want to say fuck you to you new independent wrestling watchers. You guys weren't there in the fucking trenches seeing that shit when it was just at the shitty venue with no AC and it stunk to high hell.
I feel like these new shows are probably still pretty stinky.
We went to that one and it was a first class showing all around, except for the wrestling was awful.
Yeah, but I feel like all those people clapping and chanting for the Young Bucks and all the dumb comedy bits were still like, they didn't look like people who were just like respectable showered people.
That's
they looked
fair.
Like you know, I don't even really need to shower. I wear this charcoal deodorant. And I put that on like once a week. And then, you know, like natural oils in your hair, you need them because the natural oils actually clean you and keep your skin healthy. So if you wash those away, you're actually making yourself dirtier is what you're doing. Yeah.
Ew. I guess we did sit pretty far away from people.
Also, all I own is baggy black t-shirts. That's my entire wardrobe.
I don't have a current wrestling topic, I don't think. Oh, greatest Royal Rumble fallout. Your thoughts?
Who won?
All of them.
That truly is the greatest Royal Rumble then.
Braun Strowman was your big winner.
Well, he's the biggest man. And if anything we've learned over the years of watching Battle Royals and Royal Rumbles, it's the biggest guy always wins because who's going to be able to throw him out?
Big Cass almost did.
He's also big. That's what I'm telling you. You want to win a fucking Royal Rumble, you be the biggest.
Pretty sound logic.
Sounds like it was a great event.
Except for Daivari. Daivari? Yeah, that's his name.
Aria Daivari.
Yeah, he's getting death threats.
Oh, did he go out there and say something against the Saudi prince?
Yeah, he said he was Iranian.
Well, that's all it takes.
Bada boom, huh?
Yes.
Realest guys in the room.
Saudi Arabia, not a very good country. Their government, they're responsible for a lot of atrocities.
How you doing?
Let's come out here and do some PR for them, huh, Triple H?
The Divas.
What's going on in Syria, Triple H? You didn't talk about what's going on in Syria.
The Divas look
good. They're funding mass murder, Triple H.
The Divas looked good.
Oh, they always have the best matches on the card. I'm sure it was great.
Yep. Divas Revolution. Ladies, women's, what do they call it now? Divas Women's Revolution? What are they? I don't know what they call
dames.
It.
Dames. Twists.
It's the Broads Revolution.
WWE SmackDown Twists
hey,
Championship.
Welcome to Vince and H's Broads Revolution.
We're having a Dizzy Dame Tornado tag match tonight as our main event.
That's a really, really...
Girls.
I feel like you could sell it to our friends at Lucha Vavoom.
Oh, yeah, that could be a thing.
I feel like they'd do that.
They're the only ones who have women's wrestling right, if you ask me.
Yep.
Just shooting from the hip here, everybody. Shooting from the hip.
Lucha Vavoom, friends of the show. They follow us on the IGs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them, then. Yeah. Smart move on their part. Now they're getting some free hype on this... top-rated podcast.
There you go.
The Rundown.
Sponsored
brought
by...
Brought to us by The Crow.
Yeah.
Starring Brandon Lee. And that creepy guy who I like with the deep voice. Creepy guy with the deep voice.
Morpheus.
I got this weird Asian girl as my girlfriend in this movie.
Oh, I can't remember.
We're doing sleazy stuff.
Who's in that?
That guy from The Warriors is on my crew of goons, and so is Lord Nikon from the movie Hackers.
Nikon! Lord Nikon, this is
Crash Override.
Never heard of you. Do anything?
No.
Come on!
Keep this neighborhood.
What, your mom buy you a pewter for Christmas? Does he know anything?
Sure, man, he's a lead.
Come in.
There's a really weird cast in that, huh?
Great film. Primetime Wrestling. February 11th, 1988 is what we're running down here, thanks to that money we got from The Crow.
Yep.
R.I.P. D. Brandon Lee. First match, Battle of the Titans. We got the one-man gang versus Hillbilly Jim. Hillbilly Jim wins by countout after a sort of farcical situation involving a midget and a broom.
Lil Beaver.
Oh, yeah. Lil Beaver. That's his name. Midgets have names. Sometimes you forget.
You sound like a real Johnny Valiant.
Match number two. Wellington Wilkins?
Yep.
It's a dub-dub. Wellington Wilkins in there against George the Animal.
Oh, dub-a-dub? Dub-a-dub.
Animal wins with kind of lifting him up in a chicken wing until the guy gives up.
He's quite the wrestler, that Wellington Wilkins.
Oh, yeah. He had a lot of stuff going on.
He's had some matches. I'll tell you
about
it.
He's real good.
All of them?
Not Omar Atlas versus Dusty Wolf. That's the other two guys in the next match. Not so great. Mercifully, this one's joined in progress, so we don't have to watch the whole thing, but eventually Atlas wins with a roll-up. Next match, the Ultimate Warrior versus the Mighty Hercules. Little bit of a, you know, non-conventional match. It starts off with a tug-of-war with a chain, and I think it's kind of a no contest because, you know, Hercules just starts choking the Ultimate Warrior with the chain. The Ultimate Warrior snaps it in a huge feat of strength.
The featiest.
We'll call it a no contest. Jose Estrada in there versus Scott Casey. Really thought Jose Estrada was the name guy here, and
Yeah.
He was just beating a jobber. So no. Casey wins it with a shoulder breaker.
Like, am I wrong? Surprised. Jose Estrada's like actually wrestled.
Yeah, and was the only one who had a character in the match.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was weird. He lost though. Scott Casey getting the big push. Coming up next, the debuting Ravishing Rick Rude in there versus a man named Jerry Allen.
Even though we already saw him at the Rumble?
That's right.
Okay.
It's an old match. What are you going to do?
Yeah, just show it, I guess.
Rude wins with some sort of shoulder rack. I guess they didn't have the whole neck breaker figured out yet.
No.
Our big finale. This is not a WCW week, so we do not have four or five more matches.
You sure?
One more. It's just Junkyard Dog versus Butch Reed. This one ends in like a fucking travesty of justice because of some horrible officiating. Reed gets DQ'd. This is because of a misunderstanding because Don Morocco comes out and tries to save him because he's getting worn out by JYD, who's
there must be some
putting some serious throat mutilation on him with Slickster's cane. So, you know.
There must be some kind of mistake.
Wait, no. Reed wins by DQ, even though JYD did nothing wrong. Hashtag JYD did nothing wrong. Either way, that's
hashtag
the rundown.
Hashtag free JYD.
That's what happened in
so,
this episode.
So, Mr. Poo Poo, I don't know, Wellington Wilkins Jr.
There's two of them?
Well, no, he's a junior. He.
I'm only a fan of the third.
Got beat by Jake Roberts.
He got beat by his own son.
He got beat by his own son.
He got beat by Tommy.
He got beat by
mommy.
Little girl from Salt Lake City. Two cork legs and two rubber titties. Love electricity, but she burns off gas. Got a V8 pussy and a Cadillac ass.
He got beat by Jake Roberts.
Uh-huh.
He got beat by One Man Gang.
Yeah, he's getting beat by a lot of people.
But then he went to UWF.
Oh, wow.
He still got beat.
Oh.
But then he went to PWFG.
Don't even know what that is.
Oh, he still got beat. He got beat by Jerry Flynn.
Ooh, Jerry Flynn.
Yeah, this was...
that guy's a karate master. Of course he got beat by him.
That was 1991. But then in 93, he goes to Michinoku Pro. And he
deep into Bing right now.
Starts beating all of them. He was beating all of them.
Big star over there.
Yep.
Putting Taka down.
He
was pinning Taka.
Well, no. No one's beating Taka Michinoku. But he was beating just about everyone. He went damn near undefeated for like 2 years.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, and then he came back to the States. And
all he needed was that Japanese diet. I think he was on too many trans fats, too many carbs here in the States. You know, he was sluggish, he was slow.
Yep.
Get him overseas and turns that shit
change
around,
it up, man.
Change
it up.
What is that lean tuna protein?
God damn, he fought for a long time in Michinoku Pro.
Survivor.
He fought Mascara Magica and Tiger Mask to a no contest.
That's exciting. Yeah, so. Where are you getting all this stuff?
Cage Match, the Internet Wrestling Database.
Oh,
don't know who you are, but shout out. What's up, dogs? Way to dig through the minutia.
You've really done a service to people who are looking for Wellington Wilkins.
Look, we watch this shit and we see these people and we're both like, who are these people?
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you find out, man. Because somebody that we just made fun of for going to those Ring of Honor shows is sitting in their mom's basement putting all this on the computers.
I think the unspoken truth was that nobody cares who any of these people are.
I think they're good people.
We don't need to get bogged down in the minutia. We're above that. We're doing mainstream fucking entertainment here. We need to be shooting with a shotgun, not with a sniper rifle. This show's for grandmas. This show is for little babies.
Speaking about entertainment, big time entertainment.
Big time.
I wanna see mommy.
Which
worst WrestleMania?
Which
of all time?
Yeah, which WrestleMania theme was that? Ask.
That's the one we went to. Chicago 20 whatever.
That was the Chicago one.
Yeah.
Oh,
big time.
That was the John Cena Triple H main event WrestleMania.
One of them. Yeah, I think they had a couple of those.
Man, that was probably the worst WrestleMania, and
ooh,
we got to see it live.
Here's your rundown for that. Triple H, Cena.
Yeah, I remember that. That was at the height of just people.
Uh, Why did we talk so much about that?
You started it. I was just sitting here letting you run down the horrible WrestleMania we suffered through.
There might be another match or two. Oh, the best part of the nights, though, just for the people that weren't there. Okay, we've spent too much time with that. Here we go. We got the five count that is also has a representation this week. We got a sponsor for it.
The things are picking up. This is going to like double our income.
Yeah. Turns out we have the Crow movie soundtrack sponsoring.
That's a top seller. Five count. You need to go out to your local FYE or whatever and get it before they're sold out probably.
Yeah, you got to get that.
A lot of people love that
Nine Inch Nails, the Conquistadors keep calling me. They keep calling me.
Yeah, that one's real good.
I think there's a weird Cure song.
Scott Weiland's on there. Oh, yeah, that Cure song is definitely on there.
Yeah.
Love that album.
So, thank you.
Get that on the wax.
Mad ups, you know.
I looked through my notes when we were talking about this primetime wrestling, and I dog-eared five little points. So, I got five of them. Let's get into it.
I did as well, even though WWF did their best attempt at a WCW NWA show.
It was really hard trying to find something to talk about in this throwaway shit.
I got a big number one. You ready?
Mm-hmm. The buildup is killing me.
Return of the Brain. Return of the Brain. Return of the Brain. Bobby Heenan. Return of the Brain. Yeah.
Most songs about Bobby Heenan are.
I was just happy to have the fucking Brain back, man.
Well, he was elated because he had a big victory in Indianapolis last week, Matt.
Oh.
You know what happened.
Oh, you're already giving up my number two already here, pal. But the Brain, he was killing it. And why? I'll just give you my one and my two. The gag order on the Indianapolis incident.
Not allowed to talk about the controversial finish with the twin referees and Hulk Hogan losing the WWF title. Gorilla Monsoon's cutting him off right and left. Bobby Heenan wants to crow about his big victory.
So here's why it's my one, and here's why that's my two. The Brain was just great because he was killing all night, and he was in that like angry, don't want to be here demeanor. Where he's
calling Miss Betty on the phone all the time.
Especially snarky. And he's doing the phone bit all the time where he's like, I don't want to engage you in conversation anymore, Gorilla Monsoon.
What's the point?
I'm just going to business for myself.
Just a sad old man.
So he was great. He was spitting fire all night. We might hit some of that here and there. The gag order. Great shit.
$10,000.
That's going to be my number two.
If you talk about what happened.
Because you find the one way to make Heenan not talk about shit because he's cheap. And the whole night he's holding up that sign that's like coming up next, indie info.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then it finally builds up to the whole end of the show, last segment. Bobby Heenan runs in the little like
director's booth,
and he's like, I got on another mic.
I'm just gonna talk about it now. Monsoon.
And then Monsoon's casually just like, hey, cut off his microphone in there. And then they do, and Bobby Heenan doesn't get to say anything.
Nope.
And Gorilla looks like a baller. Everybody wins.
But here's the thing, dude. Don't give away too much.
No.
And they're not.
Keep a little back.
They knew. They're like, we're probably going to get people to watch this. We're going to re-air it. It did enough numbers.
You don't got to hammer it over and over and over again. Like a WCW show, which hammers home every little point over and over and over again every week in a row until people want to tear their fucking brains out.
You don't have to wait for a rebuttal on NWA, WCW,
because
it's coming up in 5 minutes.
They know what happened at the main event.
Yeah.
And if they don't, now that you know that nobody's allowed to talk about it, they're curious about it.
I guess
so
they're just going to have to keep watching.
They're dying to find out.
They're going to have to keep watching.
It's like that episode of The Cosby Show where Bill Cosby...
I don't think we can talk about this.
He has his barbecue sauce because he's having a barbecue out in the backyard, and he's got a special... barbecue sauce. Ooh,
yeah.
People start eating my barbecue sauce.
A lot of ladies took the stands about his barbecue sauce.
Yeah, but that same episode, his father, Heathcliff Huxtable's father, gets in a little bit of trouble.
Grandpa, what's wrong with that? Did you have a stripper at your bachelor party?
No. Well, she was more of a fan dancer. Her name was Fatima. She was a very talented performer. She had these blue ostrich feathers, and she'd hold them in front of herself. And she'd do this dance to the music of Besame Mucho. Besame, Besame Mucho. Each time I cling to your kiss, I hear music divine. And she'd give you a little shoulder, and then take it back. Give you a little leg, take it right back. Man, she was something.
But then she'd give you a little leg.
Give you a little leg.
And then she'd take it right back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she'd give you a little shoulder.
Is it bad that I remember this
And then
episode?
She'd take it right back. And old Heathcliff Huxtable's mom is not happy that he always tells this story. She's not happy to hear it again.
There's a little bit
of gender strife there in the midst of Rudy and Bud getting all sexy after eating this barbecue
sauce. That's just Bud.
Yeah, he became a man that day, though, my friend. Heathcliff taught him a thing or two about L'Amour.
Wait, let him rape his daughter after a couple Quaaludes?
Probably.
Oh, God.
Anyways, that's the metaphor I use to talk about why you don't have to hammer everything home every episode. Just a little tease is fine.
Yeah, just a little lick.
Give you a little Quaalude. Twin referees.
Just a little
got
Quaalude.
Plastic surgery.
The plastic
Take it right
surgery.
Back.
Take it right back.
My number one is this Hillbilly Jim one-man gang match and how I almost liked it.
Right?
I almost liked it. I wanted to like it.
If they wouldn't have treated it like such a comedy
they
match?
They were doing great stuff. They didn't even need to wrestle. They were just basically doing Three Stooges shtick, like wacky stuff. But it was great heel stuff there. Like, they're working a simple headlock spot, but, like, every time Hillbilly tries to get out of it, Gang pulls his hair to get him back into it. People are booing. People are booing. A lot of just, like, distraction from the manager, and then the good guys getting choked, heel stuff.
It's what like, you call the subtle nuances.
They were doing no actual work in the ring. Like, nobody was bumping. Nobody was taking any big moves, no big punishment. Because they were cheating, and they were letting people know they were cheating, the crowd hated it.
They could have kept up that pace for, like, 5 hours.
They hated it, but then they just started doing too much interference.
Yeah.
They got the midget come in, and it was, you know, the match starts off with the midget biting Slick's butt and stealing his hat, and I'm
Which
like,
everybody
oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. But then, you know, like, Slickster's doing his, like, great stuff where, like...
I like that the ref made Little Beaver give the hat back so he could give it to Slick because Slick was like, give me my hat back!
My hair is not on point right now. Yeah. I need to be wearing this hat. But then, like, Slick was doing all this great stuff where Gang would, like, get in the ref's face and distract him, and then Slick would do manager shit where he's choking or whatever. But then this little fucking beaver fuck just keeps running in and blatantly interfering, hitting the Gang, hitting him with a hat, bringing a broom in and hitting him.
He even pinned one-man Gang at one point.
They're doing a lot of great stuff.
And the ref let him pin him.
This ref is being distracted. He can't see things. He's getting fucking, like... The Hillbilly Jim's getting, they're cheating. He's being screwed in this thing. And then Little Beaver just keeps doing stuff and it's fine. And it's like, well, if there are no rules and it doesn't matter, then all the great, like, bait and switch cat and mouse stuff that One Man Gang
doesn't
and
matter,
Slick are doing,
right.
It doesn't matter. It's meaningless. So eventually, after Little Beaver does all this stuff and nobody gets DQ'd, the match goes on too long. It just becomes a farce. Yeah. It's like, okay, there's no rules. Anybody can do anything.
And what happens?
Doesn't matter.
What happens?
And eventually it ends in a count out, doesn't
no,
it?
No, before that, the garbage started to
people
fly.
People were throwing garbage?
Oh, yeah.
We're done with this Three Stooges shtick.
There was a good amount of
there
garbage.
There are no
in
rules.
This.
I don't care. I'm throwing garbage. Is that why the broom came out?
I'm
sweep
going
up that garbage?
Probably. I'm going to go out on a limb here. You know, I'm an official historian on grudge and garbage when it comes to wrestling.
Both those things.
I'm going to
Call
say
you double G.
This is
G.G. Allen.
The most garbage
we've seen on a show so far.
Pre WCW Nitro.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure impressive. Minus some old territory shows where I would imagine garbage is being thrown the entire
goddamn
event.
That wasn't garbage. That was mostly batteries.
Cups of pee.
Cups of pee and batteries.
Classics.
You wanna
classics.
Get them where it hurts.
Old grannies hitting people with shivs.
Who boy.
Wish I could go back and live those days.
Hey, I tell you what.
What?
Johnny Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
We might have just lost him last week or whatever the hell.
Hit by a Snapple truck.
R.I.P.D. But he made it abundantly clear right out the gate. He hates midgets and gays.
Well, he's the color commentary. You got to be a little bit edgy when you're in that color seat.
Yeah, he was way edgy.
So you just let people know about what kind of people you hate.
He was like Dice Man edgy.
Yeah, he really, I don't like him. Every time we got him out here on color, I'm just like, yeah, no thank you.
Look at this midget hugging Hillbilly Jim. They got something going on. Forget about it.
My number two?
Yeah.
I liked how much they built up the Hercules Ultimate Warrior confrontation over the first half of the show.
Yeah.
It kept being like Gorilla and Brain kept going back and forth like, oh, we got this Ultimate Warrior Hercules coming up, Brain.
Who's it gonna be?
Brain. This guy's strong. He's stronger than your guy. No, he isn't.
Yeah.
This is really the first time we've got a little thing on this show where it wasn't just like, we got a match coming up, and then we got another match coming up. We got another match. They were teasing segments, and it was like something big's going to happen later that you should actually watch. So stay tuned. We're trying to keep your attention here. We're actually going to program this like a real fucking television show and give you a reason to watch, which I thought was an encouraging little thing.
Yeah.
And then once the thing happened and they did the tug of war with the chain, Ultimate Warrior showed that he was stronger than Hercules, and then he snapped Hercules' chain, and Hercules was pissed off and he was embarrassed. So then he choked the Warrior, strangled him with the chain until tons of people came out. This is the first Ultimate Warrior feud, I guess, we got.
Right.
He's new in the company. We've seen him do some squash matches.
This is my number four. We'll go back to my number three.
Throw him into
a
feud here. Good to see.
But, yeah.
Good to see the Warrior in a feud, and it's a smart feud. Put him in there against another muscle man and let the fans wonder which one of these guys is going to be more of a muscled-up goon.
Well, first of all, let's give the most important part of the match its dues.
Okay.
Warrior coming to the ring with music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got it. He ran.
It makes it all worth
his face paint
peeling
off a little bit before he even got to the ring. Totally blown up.
You get
good thing you didn't actually have to wrestle.
You get that little post-match thing.
No cardio. Man did no cardio.
No. Of the Brain trying to pump up Hercules. Like, you're just as strong. You got this. Like, this is it.
Brain
was
showing
shit.
Some fire in that pre-match promo.
Shit.
Usually you don't hear him screaming unless like he's in the ring being humiliated. To hear him like angry and screaming in a pre-match promo was felt strange to me, a little out of left field, and I liked it. I like seeing some fire in him.
Something different.
Usually
switch
he's
it
just,
up.
You know, smug and cocky.
Figuring out how to cheat.
Sardonic.
Before Hercules even got to the ring, you could hear how hard Vince was just talking about the vascularity.
The way his boner scraping
he's
up
so
against the
strong.
Mic.
Oh, they look so good. Oh, what a maneuver.
Yeah.
And it was a great job all around. It was a great way to protect what you're hoping is going to be your next big baby face.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who's clearly not that good at wrestling yet.
Oh, come on.
Well, I know he became one of the greatest ring
soon,
generals
like
of all
6
time.
6 weeks from now, he's killing it.
Yeah, but he wasn't quite there yet.
Ultimate Warrior, best of all time.
Yeah, and this also shows how good of a wrestler Hernandez was. Hercules Hernandez.
I think he's very underrated. Especially
I agree.
For a guy his size and
when
how
we,
roided
when we
up
go
he was.
Back and watch all this shit. Because I'm going to tell you right now, looking back as a little kid, I clearly remember Hercules Hernandez. And I couldn't give less fucks about Hercules Hernandez as a kid.
I liked how he swung that chain around.
Well, chains are cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like, going back and watching this shit now, like, that was a worker right there, man. He could make like your big lumbersome guys look good. Like, he knew how to sell like a power match.
He did.
And it was smart. They put him together.
Not much of a talker. I think that's why we don't really remember him. He always either just swung the chain as a good guy or just like stood next to a manager as a bad guy.
That's because he had a Hispanic sounding name, but talked like the biggest New Yorker you've ever heard.
Why when he went to WWF, he wasn't Hercules Hernandez for very long, and Vince just started calling him the Mighty Hercules. Vince knows this branding.
Oh, this guy sounds like he's from New York.
If you're going to call him Hercules Hernandez, he needs to be doing the Flying Burrito as a finisher.
Yeah. How are people going to know?
So, they changed that up, thank God.
But it was great. They did the right things. DQ, you really wanted to see who was stronger.
Yeah, if I didn't know in my head that the match is going to suck, I would really want to see the eventual match this is going to lead to now.
But, like, as a young kid and back then, like, when you view all this 80s stuff, like, that was your hook, man. Like, who is stronger?
Mm-hmm.
One of these guys is.
Simple shit. Who's it like going to be? Two fat guys. Who's fatter? Two strong guys. Who's stronger? Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. Who's balder?
Yeah. But they,
it was Hogan.
They did a really good job making you think like, oh, Hercules, yeah, he's pretty strong. He might have a old Warriors number here.
Spoiler alert, he doesn't. The Ultimate Warrior's the best.
Yeah, duh. We already talked about it. Greatest in-ring technician of all time. We skipped right over my number three, so I'm going to go back and address it real quick.
Yeah, let's get on it.
The Omar Atlas versus Dusty Wolf in progress match.
I got something to say about this match too, so we're right on schedule.
Yeah. It's great because how many awful WCW NWA matches have we watched?
Countless at this point.
And
dozens and dozens.
How many times do they try to present it to us like it's a real in-ring thing that's going on?
Every time?
Yeah. This match was awful.
Mm-hmm.
So the commentary team of Bobby the Brain Heenan,
yep,
Lord Alfred Hayes, and Vince McMahon buried the fuck out of this match. Did.
This was another one of my points right here.
It was great. So Lord Alfred Hayes, like right out the gate, the first thing I even, before I even heard anything, before it, like I saw like 2 seconds and I already wrote, it's already awful. So then
there you go.
Lord Alfred Hayes
starts, I wonder what the part they didn't show us looked like.
Lord Alfred Hayes starts going in on Dusty Wolf, I think.
Oh yeah, he's looking a little bit overweight.
This guy's a little bit overweight and he's not very agile.
He's clumsy
and
too.
He's clumsy and he's this, and Brain fires back with, what you're saying is basically the guy stinks.
But he still has a heads up on Atlas here, who's a little bit over the hill.
Yeah.
Like he just goes into like, this guy sucks, but he's winning the match right now. That's probably because Atlas is so fucking old.
Right. It's great, though.
We got a fat, out of shape guy and a fucking old guy.
The Brain.
And they're wrestling.
Like, Alfred Hayes always tries to keep, like, a little bit of that professionalism to him.
No way. That's just because he sounds British. It seems that way. He's the one that started it. He buried both these guys right out the gate. He was just like, nope, this guy doesn't belong in the ring. That guy doesn't belong in the ring.
But he tries to do it in, like, a classy way, and maybe it is just the accent, but he tries to make it,
the accent.
He tries to make it sound professional, like I'm giving you real critiques as to why.
They're coming, Wiki Wiki. Can you get some towels for me, please? I'm really losing a lot of blood.
You sound like you're from London. Yeah, I'm from London.
And then the Brain was just like, oh, you're saying the guy sucks, huh?
Uh-huh.
Like in the most Norm MacDonald way ever.
Cut to the quick.
You ever get a lottery ticket there? A guy give it to you as a gift? That's what I got for Christmas. Guy give me a lottery ticket. And what a stinking gift that is. What the hell's a guy thinking there? I go, here you go. Nothing. Merry Christmas, nothing. Best of the season to you, Daris. It's nothing. I'm giving it to you. You know, unless it wins, then it's on. But let's face it, you give a guy a lottery ticket, you know, you don't want it to win. You know? That's the last thing you want there, you know? You don't want your buddy to be a winner, you want to be a loser like you, you know? What the hell are you thinking?
And then Hayes fucking loses it, starts laughing, and he's like, yeah, yeah, no, he's not very good. And then Brain starts in with the, he needs the Terry Garvin School of Self-Defense.
Uh-huh,
and that's when we get the first glimpse of Vince. Oh, who's that? Vince, just being a dick, taking shots at Terry Garvin, because he can. The announce team had fun.
I had a part two of this one. It was a part one was the announce team burying both the competitors in that fucking match, talking about what losers they were. Part two is after that Rick Rude match, Bobby the Brain, they come back to the studio. He's gloating because Rick Rude's his guy. He's like, you see that? He won. And Gorilla's like, oh, come on, man. What are you getting so excited about? That was a match from 6 to 7 months ago. Let's talk about what's going on now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, first you give me a match with two guys you tell me are two scrubs, they're two losers, but you're making me sit through the match.
Correct.
Now you're giving me a 6 to 7 month old match and then telling me, why would you get excited about this? It's a 6 to 7 month old match. If everybody involved in this show knows that everything you're showing me is shit,
yeah.
Why are you putting it on the fucking show, man?
Yeah.
Why is any of this stuff on the show? If you're just going to flat out tell the audience it's garbage.
This is all shit.
Why should you care about it? There's no reason to be watching this.
And they've never really done that. I mean, like, they lean into some shit here and there on primetime, I feel.
Uh-huh.
But this is, like, the most first time.
This episode was WCW level, just like, all this is filler bullshit. No reason for it to exist.
We have programming to
even as
to
this being their filler bullshit, just clip match show, or show, essentially. Yeah. Every week it's just clips of just matches, just to show some matches, like... At least there's always a point. It's a jobber and a guy who's squashing him. It's not two fucking jobbers. It's a match that's getting over some current angle. It's not just like, here's a random match from 6 months ago for no reason. WWF, if you don't want me to start fucking puking on the microphone every week like I do when we see Davy Crockett and his older brother's show, like, quit giving me shit and then telling me it's shit and then expecting I'm going to like it anyways.
Yeah.
Fuck this episode of TV. It was painful to watch.
I guess it's 5. I don't know. We'll say it's 5.
I'm only on 4.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, Rick Rude, his big debut match.
Mm-hmm.
They did a good job on commentary during the match, being like, this is a big deal.
Because he did look great.
This is a big deal.
He looked like a future star.
And it was cool. It was cool to
see. If we
would have
seen this match 6 months ago when it happened, it might have been a big deal.
And not after we already saw him on the Royal Rumble.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it was nice to see him just be like, watch out now. Here's a guy. And it wasn't just a squash. There was back and forth. And, you know, there's a lot of him pulling up 3 counts because he wanted to keep a match going and humiliate the guy a little more. But all of it was there. The only thing was missing was a nice pair of airbrush tights.
Yeah.
But that comes along later.
But Gorilla and Lord Alfred were having good times with his like rainbow striped tights. Just
correct.
Like, they didn't have colored tights back like that when we were wrestling, did they?
UFAGGOT. Yeah.
We just wore black trunks.
Yeah.
We're manly men, ain't that right?
But they probably
like, come on, fucking Rick Rude looks like $1 million.
Yeah, and they probably did more butt stuff back then. Anyways.
I'm sure that they did. Yeah. Butt stuff was a classic locker room prank.
Yeah, like if you didn't try to put your thumb in the other guy's asshole during the match, and like
this guy's work rate sucks.
You got to no sell it. No sell it.
Laying around out there the whole fucking
match. Don't let him know I'm putting my thumb up there.
Not trying to do any butt pranks.
Yeah.
You got to.
That's how
you job this guy out and get him in the next territory.
But Rick Rude
squash
looked
him.
Good outside of the trunks, like just I said. Like, he had the robe.
Like a gazelle.
He was missing the music.
Spring
he was missing
in his
the music,
like a
unfortunately.
Gazelle. He was just
leaping
across that
he
ring.
He was fast as
leaping
fuck,
across
man.
That ring.
He was fast. He was jumping. His muscles were on point. Even
super athlete.
Even
shredded.
Laid into the crowd a little bit beforehand,
shredded.
Which
not
was great
quite
to see.
Like the swagger that his like pre-match shit would use.
No,
but
no, but like
it was a proto fucking version of it where
right?
he knew
yeah,
he'd call
it was cool
everybody
to
fat.
See.
Like yeah.
he made everybody wait like 2 minutes for them to get that fucking Madison Square Garden microphone back down. That's
just wait. It's coming down from the ceiling.
Sitting up there next to the blue blazer. Hold on, and he
crash.
Finally gets it.
Now we use JR voice. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you right now. The microphone crashed down to the ground. Rick Rude was going to talk into it. I assure you, it was not supposed to crash in. We're just going to.
A lot of small children saw the microphone hit the turnbuckle and saw
you
its
could see the
head ripped backwards,
faces
and neck
crowd
rip open.
Here in New York City, all these sweat hogs. Pew! Sassafras.
No one had the cell phone video back then, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. If somebody falls from the rafters these days, they're going to
see
it from
see
every
it.
Angle. There's going to be Snapchat filters over the people's faces as they're falling.
We watched that guy in a barnyard jump off a rafter and miss the table.
Oh, yeah, that was a recent calamity of independent wrestling.
Wrestling's still funny.
Making a lot of bad decisions out there.
If anybody's got
wrestlers, you're making a lot of bad decisions.
If anybody's got bootleg snuff Blue Blazer film, Nate and I are looking for it.
Hit up those DMs.
Yeah, find us at our dark web email and send that to us.
So yeah, my last point was kind of going along with talking about that Rick Rude debut. It's just that, like, Rick Rude has debuted. He looks very promising. We had Bad News Brown's debut last time we watched this shit. Ultimate Warrior is getting into his first program. 1988, I feel like this roster is really finally, like, coming together
pushing
in the next generation. Like
pushing some stars.
All of a sudden, like, that rock and wrestling generation's going away. We're getting that next generation. It feels like it's really solidifying here. And I feel like this is my roster right here. This 1988 roster, when I think about, like,
this
my childhood, like, wrestling during my childhood, these are the guys right here. And it's just nice seeing it all come together.
Nate.
Seeing it all solidify.
Nate.
Huh.
What if I told you?
Oh, why'd you get all weird?
Later this year?
Mm-hmm.
Big Boss Man.
Big Bubba Rogers putting on that shield, getting that nightstick. That's going to be good.
Stepping into his own.
It's going to be so good. 1988, great year for the WWF, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree.
That's all I want to talk about for this show.
I agree.
Like I said earlier, this is really just like a WCW-esque shit show of we're going to give you crap and tell you that we think that it's crap. We don't care. Double middle finger up to the audience. Go away. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to give them the respect to do an entire five count. I had a four. I'm not even going to say it.
Wow.
Right here? Yeah. This is a protest. This is a protest.
2 weeks in a row.
I just burnt my bra.
Wow. I didn't even know you were wearing one.
Well, you see how much these things are hanging now? How do you think that shit stays up there?
I guess I'm going to have to think about it during these paid commercial breaks.
High dollar.
High
dollar.
One, two, three, five, I don't know.
Come back.
Soon.
Listen to our three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Help, Miss Morrow. I'll trade you half a prune Danish for an honest opinion. Is it the dress or is it my figure?
Honestly, it's your bra.
My bra?
Try this Playtex cross your heart bra. But in the dressing room, please. Cross your heart crosses over, lifts and separates to help you cross over to a better figure.
Wow.
Of course. I improve your figure and you ruin mine. You try a Playtex cross your heart bra and cross over to a better figure.
From John Carpenter. They control what you see.
We have been lulled into a trance.
They decide what you hear.
Wake up! They're all about you. All around you.
You think they're people. Just like you.
What do these things want and why are they here?
You're wrong. Dead wrong. John Carpenter's They Live. Rated R.
Starts Friday, November 4th at theaters everywhere.
Three count. I'm gonna talk about wrestling. Three count. I made a list of wrestling. Three count. That's all I really have.
That was really good.
Yeah. Kind of just tie it all back
in.
You
don't even need anything else.
No.
Yeah.
You just keep saying those, like, two lines over and over again, probably.
So much larger than two.
Yeah. Well, it sure is. It sure is. I've come a long way, haven't we?
Yeah. Remember back in the early episodes when we weren't even coming back into new segments with stupid Weird Al parodies of songs?
Yeah, like, I'd have a song for you here and there, but I'm feeling like at least two out of every three times you're listening to a segment, you're getting something new.
Oh, yeah. And like,
there's sometimes where I don't.
One out of every five or so, it's like a dynamite one. And you're like, hey, they really nailed that.
One out of every 10 of them, it's like, that was worthwhile.
It's all coming together. If they ever actually like plan this stuff ahead of time or like put any work into this, it might actually be something.
Yeah. But I'll be the first to tell you, people are talking. They are talking about
there's
it.
A lot of chatter.
There's chatter out there.
Quite frankly, I don't appreciate it. I don't like people out there running their mouth.
We got nominated for the potty.
Simple man.
We got nominated for the potty because of the big main event one we did, you know.
My girl likes to potty all the time.
Potty all
it sounds
time.
Like something Taz would have said in like 2000 SmackDown. My girl likes to potty, Cole.
My girl likes to potty, Cole.
She likes to potty.
Potty all the time.
I don't know why I said it in that voice. Potty all the time, Cole. Be pretty cool. Potty all start talking like Taz all the time, Matt.
Oh, we didn't get a chance to talk about in the five count.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Sammartino's commentary.
Why would we have talked about that? Like, we had to suffer through it. Why make the people out there have to suffer through it as well?
I'm going to put it out there this way. And I'm not trying to poke fun.
I'm not trying to poke fun.
You know, we say like angry stuff about gays and whatever, but that's clearly tongue in cheek. Like,
oh yeah. I like gay people better than straight people.
It's 2018. Like, just get over yourself.
I'm just out here razzing people.
Like, when we talk, like,
you can't be afraid to razz people.
You use the F word or be like shit talk gay people.
Not
like
this new culture.
Like,
don't use
clearly,
the F word.
Clearly, we're doing it to be like, look how fucking caveman like it was in the 80s. Like,
mm-hmm.
And that's not
mm-hmm.
that long ago. It's
things are better now. Let's celebrate it.
But there's one
by having
thing,
some good times.
There's one thing I try hard to never joke about, and that's the mentally handicapped. Like,
okay.
Just because, like, it's...
because your little brother, Dave.
Well, there's that. And it's low-hanging fruit. Like, when I was, like, a third grader
that's
or a fourth
true.
Grader, like, that was going to be my go-to
comedy
bit.
Comedy should always punch up.
Yeah, yeah.
You punch down, it just makes people feel bad.
Right, right, right. And now, like, I feel like I've come to such a thing where it's like, that's... No, you don't... Come on. Like, that's... You could be afflicted with that. Your family could. Like, and that's a thing to deal with. But I will say
unless
this...
Unless you're talking about... episodes of that one show starring Corky.
Oh, Life Goes On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about Life Goes On.
Oh, you know I love that episode.
Check out this great fucking bit from Life Goes On.
Yeah,
this is some funny stuff.
He's supposed to do the talent show with his sister, Becca.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do Yankee Doodle Dandy. And he's like,
lame.
He's like, I'm going to street gang now, Mom. I do not do kids shit anymore.
No.
And so what does he do? He lip syncs Public Enemies Fight the Power.
It was a great political message.
And he does some cool dancing to it.
It was like that episode of Murphy Brown where she had a baby without a husband and then sang You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman to the baby.
You make me feel. You make me feel like a natural woman.
And then they never showed the baby
Corky
again.
Singing Fight the Power was the only thing that like hit the culture more than that.
Yeah, absolutely so. Absolutely
To people who are under like 35 who
I
might be
don't
listening
know what
to this
that
right
is.
Now, these are TV shows we're talking about. They used to exist in the 90s.
Bing it, Bing it.
Yeah,
Bing
put Bing to work. That's what Bing is for.
But yeah, Bruno Sammartino sounded, when he talks, when he's doing announcing, like I can't tell if he's handicapped or foreign, and he's neither?
Yeah.
Which is weird.
He's an Italian fucking hero.
He's just hard to listen to, man.
Either, yeah. Well, he was out there. He was known for his physique, not for his talking.
Great news. I can't shit talk Cincinnati.
R.I.P.D. Cincinnati WKRP.
I was repping some of my Flair shirts this week.
Okay.
I had the
Okay, last week we established that Lobo has 5 robot shirts.
Yeah.
How many Flair shirts do you have?
Enough of them. Like, how many do you have?
Keep very vague. I have the one. I got
sounds like you gotta up your game,
big
pal.
Big Flair face on it. It's vintage, WCW era. I love it. I got those sleeves cut off. Wearing that around the house, lounging.
I wore the bloodied up, you know, 92 Royal Rumble Flair shirt.
Perfect.
Got a lot of compliments at the old music festival. Like, a lot of people like, wait a minute, that's that guy from wrestling, isn't it? And it's like, it sure is.
Jesus Christ,
you know who
people.
It is. I'd be like, it's
man's
it's
got
fucking,
a name.
It's Ric Flair. And they'd immediately fire back with woo. And it's like, yeah, you see, you know who it is. And then
I was in the air.
Really proud the next day. I just had the simple Nature Boy one on. It's just a red, and it has got the sparkling Nature Boy.
Oh, that sounds classy.
And I felt legit as shit when I got my chicken from the chicken truck in Cincinnati.
Does that chicken truck have a fun name that was a pun?
It was like the chicken coop.
That's not very fun at all.
Either way.
I should have brainstormed a little bit.
Brother handed me my chicken, mm-hmm. took one look at my shirt, and just hit me with a woo.
There you go.
And I was like, these people get it. Also, I used stick it in your Bing box. Mm-hmm. Went over huge.
I got to tell you, I got a brand new red shirt. It's pretty nice.
Yeah?
It's a little thing. It's got an NWO logo on it.
I'm listening.
But on the back.
Yeah?
On the front, giant howling wolf face.
You, no.
Wolfpack, brother.
You got one?
Oh, yeah. I'm repping a Wolfpack shirt.
I need like five of those.
Got that shit in my laundry. Once I get that thing washed, it's going straight on my back.
Heavily jealous. Heavily
straight
jealous.
Straight on my back.
Well, we've mentioned.
Don't turn your back on the Wolfpack.
At least like three great shirts you could own.
Yeah, you could go buy those on eBay. Today we're sponsored by eBay.
You want to do like a list of three something else?
Top three wrestling shirts of all time.
No. We do a different one.
Okay, because I don't have that prepared. But that should go on our list of potentials because I don't have that one on there yet. Yeah, we'll talk about that at some other time. Yeah. This week we're talking about best signature taunts in pro wrestling of the 1980s. Those little things, those little mannerisms guys would do to get
the
under the skin of their opponents and be the cock of the walk to show off. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't, we'll get into it and you'll figure it out.
You do.
We went out and we had some dinner at a nice little local brewery, so I didn't quite have time to write three
it right
down.
Now. I'm drinking it right now.
I don't quite have time to write three down, but I've got three in my head. I'm going to wing it. What's your number three?
What, third most drunk I've ever been?
Third most drunk you've ever been.
Oh, no, the wrestling thing we talked about. All right, my number three.
ROH in Dayton 10 years ago.
Yeah, amen, brother.
Wearing a homemade Butcher's Gonna Rape You shirt.
Only one way to get through that. The rape or the show?
I mean, the show was the rape.
Yeah.
We had a BJ Whitmer main event that night, man.
Oh,
I don't
want to
see another one of these.
Oh, Jesus. Way to remind me. He's a guy we've talked about much in the same breath as we have another guy who is for the people.
FUBU? Nash? We're talking about Kevin Nash?
Talking about Kevin Nash.
The too sweet symbol?
No, I'm talking about when he was doing the hands handcuffed together Attica thing because he kept powerbombing people when it was illegal.
He was like, hey, children of the 90s, you know about this movie, right?
Yeah. He's always in touch with what the kids are doing. No, you silly dum-dum. Talking about another man, a man who was the world's biggest face, but he was also the world's biggest heel because he was just being a dick about shit.
Hogan?
Nah, who's the other one?
Dusty?
Big Dust, baby. That's right. Dusty Rhodes, baby. He's got one of the most iconic moves of all time.
No,
does
a splotch is not a taunt. You cannot put Dusty's splotch on your top three.
No. He's got a little move he likes to do to people, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's true, he does.
What's he do?
He puts his butt in their face.
There's that.
My big old booty.
Cool, but, like, no, Rikishi did that better.
Flip-flop and fly. Are you going flip-flop and fly?
Talking a little bit of that elbow coming your way, man.
Bionic elbow.
Coming your way. But what's he do right before he hits that elbow?
He's got that flip-flop and fly.
That's right.
All that
And he's just
flubbers.
Doing all that fist move, that big spin, that big old spin.
A little hip wiggle in there.
And why are you doing that?
A little hip wiggle.
Why are you doing that?
I mean, just to let them know that you've got more soul than they do.
To taunt a motherfucker.
Just like, look at this. Like, I could be fighting you right now, but instead I'm doing a little dance.
Not only am I winning.
That's how easy it is to fight you.
Not only am I winning, you're losing. And that's a jerk move. But either way, it's a taunt, my friend. And it's qualifying. And I'm putting it in there.
I'm not going to try to fucking do a little put down on that one. We're not going to the mats on this one. I'm not going to argue with it. Flip, flop, and fly. Total taunt. Total taunt. It's a little bit celebratory. I mean, maybe like I think the taunt's more of a pointed, like "fuck you." Or this.
He's saying "fuck you" in the middle of beating you up.
I can't believe he put the flip flop and fly on your list.
He's saying "fuck you" while he's beating you.
The three count.
He's a dickhead.
All right, I'm gonna
big dick.
I'm gonna counter this.
Not big dust.
With something that might also not be a taunt.
Okay.
We'll see. I think it's a taunt. I think it's getting under people's skin. It's playing mind games. And I love it because it's so dumb and so stupid. And it was sold with so much gravity. And that is old Davey R. Scheister's main boy, The Undertaker, rolling his eyeballs in the back of his head.
Wow.
Because it's a stupid, simple little thing that anyone can fucking do. But every time he'd do it, the announcers would be like, do you see that? He's got no pupils in his eyes. And his opponents would be like, oh, this guy's not human. Look at him. He doesn't have any eyeballs in his eyes.
You remember like doing that at school, though?
Yeah, he did that similar, like, oh, rolling it back. He's like, I'm like the Undertaker. I can do this stuff. Everybody can fucking do this. It's so weird.
Legend has it, Lobo taught him about that. At one of the local Undertakers.
One of those local things where they were showing off all the new embalming fluids.
Sure.
At the Undertaker convention.
They let you sip a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the tasting. You got to spit it and then you take a little sip and then you spit it.
But
and
you're
you
supposed go to. The next to table. If you're a yeah. pussy.
That day, though, Lobo and Mark Callison. Callison? Callison?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a little bit too much embalming fluid, and Lobo was like, hey, check out what I can do with my eyeballs.
Look at how much embalming fluid I've had.
And Mean Mark at that point was like, if I ever go up north, I'm going to put that in my gimmick some way. And it's all been history ever since then. You get some white fucking fright paint on your face, you roll your eyeballs back in your head, and you just no-sell everything, and before you know it, you're the biggest star in wrestling.
And then, like, also, when he wasn't wrestling, he just dressed like he was one of the vampires from The Lost Boys.
A lot of denim.
Except he was, like, 7 feet tall.
So much denim.
So it looked extra cool.
Denim tree.
Yeah. Lost Boys tree.
I feel like we should have one of those old like Marvel Comics Stan Lee asterisks right here. Like to know what we're talking about when we say Lobo, see episode 31 of Baby Oil and Blow.
See episode 31 of Baby Oil and Blow,
Excelsior,
true believers.
True believers. How do you like my latest cameo in this Avengers movie?
The last four or five,
I've been sitting in a chair because I can't stands anymore.
Guess which out of the three or four I shit myself.
It was all four. Trick question.
You're a loser. I get more pussy than you still. And I haven't had a hard-on since Nixon was in office.
More pussy than a toilet seat, baby.
That's right, baby.
What's that number two you got going on here in this list? Let's keep it rolling.
I'm just gonna throw it out to you. Ready?
Every morning is a
what from the NWOs and the Bullet Clubs? Baby. What do they do?
The one sweet.
The one sweet. The two.
Copyright.
Suite.
Well, no, the Bullet Club can't do that anymore. Vince took care of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Fuck you, Kenny Omega.
Yeah, too sweet. DX, what's they do's?
That crotch chop.
The crotch chop.
Chop chop.
Which
chop.
Is still cool. You want to show a motherfucker up? Crotch, just chop
if
your
I'm
crotch, man.
If out in public and somebody tries to give me a little sass, it's going to be a straight up crotch chop, like right at them. And then there's no coming back from that.
Now, why is that so cool?
I don't know, because it's like gang signs, and gang signs are cool, and being in a gang is cool.
And there was the first original gang in wrestling.
Oh, the Bloods.
The Four Horsemen Blood Gang.
Oh. Ooh, Four Horsemen Blood Gang sounds like a good like Japanese stable.
It really does, actually. Definitely. Yeah, we might want to take that out there.
And maybe doing a little trip to Japan.
But before there was the crotch, before there was the two sweet, there was the simple four fingers to the air.
Throw up
man.
That four fingers.
And like I debated because there's a lot of cool shit Flair does and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But the four fingers, man, it was universal. And like they didn't
put
have
that guy
to
in
just...
a hammerlock, slam him down on his arm that's still in a hammerlock, and stick four fingers in his face.
Yeah.
Let him know you're better than him.
But the other thing was like they didn't have to just do that. Like they could taunt you, and it wasn't even like sticking the four fingers in your face. They could walk away from you. And give the four horsemen salute to their fellow four horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be like, you don't even matter for a second. Just like, because I'm just going to like,
together.
Hey, look at, here we are. Like, if it's fucking, you know, Double A and Tully, like, just
it's
hey.
Like when frats, like, tape each other's nutsacks together
yeah,
and stuff.
It's
and
hot.
Then make
it's
them,
so
like,
sexy.
Chug a bottle of
yeah,
hot sauce
so
or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's just creating brotherhood is what's going on. That's like what throwing up the four fingers was.
Brotherhood and eroticism.
Mm-hmm.
It's the name of the game, man. Four fingers do it.
Oli fell asleep and I braided his butt hairs together so he can't poop anymore.
Four
it's a
fingers.
Great little haze.
Four fingers.
Four fingers. Four fingers.
Just like in frat boy world, you know, four fingers. It's erotic.
Two in the goo and one in the
all in
poo,
your butthole because you're
one
in a frat.
Just
hanging out
up
somewhere.
English tea style and in the air pinky.
Well, there that's classy. That's nice. I like that.
The four-finger salute.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's up there.
Yeah, it's definitely on there. I thought about putting it on there, but instead I went with another direction. I went another thing that Ric Flair likes to utilize.
Ooh.
Talking about that Fargo strut that started by Jackie Fargo, as far as I know, because it's called a Fargo strut. That's that thing where you just take a step forward with your left foot, throw your right hand up with like two fingers pointing out. Take a dramatic step with your fucking right foot, throw that left hand up. You got Fargo used it back in the day. You got all these guys. They've been using it for years. Flair uses it. Double J still fucking uses that shit. Yeah. Like, there's something stupid about it. You look like a moron when you're doing it. But if you can do it and, like, let the crowd know, like, I don't think I'm a moron while they're while I'm doing this, they get real mad. Like, ah! That's not a cool way to strut. He looks like some sort of girly man and he thinks he's all cool. I don't know. He's not cool. That's a good way to get under just basic people's skin.
It's the coolest.
If you do something that looks kind of fey and kind of dumb, but you do it with confidence and you're like, I think this looks cool, it makes them madder than anything. That's why I'm currently wearing headbands everywhere I go, like Chad Gable.
Yeah.
Because everybody I see out in local bars gets so mad about it.
I'm just like,
it's just a headband. I don't see why you're getting so emotional.
It's got long hair. I'm just trying to keep it out of my face.
My head's not in my face. Like, I don't know. You're wearing shoelaces. Why do you got shoelaces on?
Yeah. I don't want the tongue getting everywhere.
I hate it. It's great.
Everybody's got opinions on shit. And what I say to that
gets under the skin.
What I say to that is opinions are like assholes, and right now you are one, sir.
Ooh, smelly.
That's the old saying.
Do people say that?
I don't know what's going on. I'm
starting
to
lose it.
I don't know what's happening in life anymore.
I'm done. I've gotten through my latest conniption.
Okay, you good?
I'm ready to do our number ones.
I got burp fits.
I'm waiting here with bated breath for you to get through your burp fits. I'm
just going to chug a little more of this beer
fritz. That's when you get German burp fits. Trying to remember what my number one is.
Feeling good. I got my number one.
Been drinking this whole time. I had it in my head earlier. I'm going to need you to talk about your number one so that I can recall what my number one was.
Nate.
Here we go.
What's a cool way to taunt people?
I don't know. Just like...
any of them?
Nutsack on their forehead when they're sleeping?
Nutsack, no, on their forehead when you're pinning them. Come on, haven't you watched any fucking Ronnie Garvin matches?
Ronnie Garvin matches, it's a classic move.
Oh, I should probably just make that my number one. That's probably the best taunt of all time now that I'm thinking about
it. Not only are you beating them, like, you're putting your nuts on their
head. My balls are on your face, loser.
Yeah, that's better than anything we can
do. I won the shit.
Organically.
Yeah, there you go. It's over. I hope you had a good show. Ronnie Garvin's nuts
Ronnie
on your
Garvin
face.
Ronnie Garvin putting his nuts on your forehead pin.
All right, so... honorary number one, because that's clearly number one now.
Do number one B.
Yeah,
is what we're doing all right.
So number one B. It's cool to taunt people. You taunt people here and there. You taunt people when you're pinning them. You got your nuts on their head.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing shit during the match, right? What if, like, before they even ring that bell?
You're taunting them already?
Yeah.
Goddamn, pal. That's pretty cocky. I don't know.
If you're going to taunt somebody. If you're going
to
taunt somebody.
They're going to come at you like a house of fire.
Goddamn right. And you got to come like a house of fire before the match even starts. So you can get to the rings. You can grab that top rope with both hands.
Yeah.
And you can shake the holy hell.
You're going
hell.
The Ultimate Warrior shaking the ropes.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's one of the greatest.
Look at that whole ring shaking. This guy's too much for me to handle.
Yeah, I'm fucking winded as fuck, bro. Mm-hmm, but like.
It was worth
it
because your mind is winded
now. You're fucking terrified. Yeah,
your body's winded, but
your soul
is winded.
Is winded. And your butthole's shivering.
It was nice that Batista brought that back a little bit for a while.
Yeah, he gets it.
Somebody new has got to start doing that now that Batista's in the big old Marvel movies and he's a superhero who doesn't wrestle anymore.
He's a bona fide superstar.
It's wide open for one of you idiots out there. Braun Strowman, you're supposed to be the big new fucking burly guy who wins all the greatest Royal Rumbles. Start shaking those ropes like a psychopath.
And like Warrior would use it in a match too, like if you're beating him a little bit and
actually,
you had him
really
on the ropes.
Braun Strowman needs to start shaking those ropes.
Just grab the ropes, man.
Yeah, this dude is a good comeback
Hulk
spot. He'd
be
down there with like one hand on the ropes and he'd hit him and he'd shake it a little bit.
Yeah,
he'd shake it again.
Second row now. Oh, he got third row.
Now it's really going. He can't feel
up,
shit.
Man. Yeah. That's good shit. That's good, solid shit.
Mm, I love it. I'd be so jacked up when I was a kid. You sounded like Jurassic Park right then. Might be another rundown sponsor we got coming in soon. You're talking about the Ultimate Warrior doing that rope shaking. That's nice. That you know, ties into that episode we watched earlier. We had an Ultimate Warrior segment. Going back to thinking about this three count, the whole reason I picked this one, because I was also tying it into something we saw.
Yep, didn't put it on there because I knew you would. Bring it home, daddy.
You got, if
bring it home, daddy.
One way you can taunt somebody, if you're taunting somebody, you want to emasculate them. You want to let them know that you're up here as far as testosterone goes, and they're down there, and not only can you beat them physically.
You can conquer their village.
You could beat them sexually.
Their women.
You are going to beat them sexually.
Yeah.
That's why my number one is that sexy slither of ravishing Rick Rude putting his hands behind his head and doing that hip swivel.
Brother. I'm going to...
Showing off that pelvis, showing off those abs, that smooth back and forth hip swivel.
I'm going to extend...
I'm not even trying to be tough right now.
Yeah.
I'm tough enough where I'm just going to be sexy while I'm fighting you.
I'm going to extend your 1B because we agree that...
You the know, real number
Ronnie
one
Garvin's
is Ronnie Garvin's
balls.
His nuts pin. Yeah.
It's not just Rick Rude's little hip gyration. It's every little thing Rick Rude did, man.
Yeah, he's a one-man taunt gang.
Because like,
for
he could do the hip thing, or he'd do the one arm up, one arm down pose.
That's a good
just
pose.
Do the fucking
anytime anybody's like, we're getting in a picture, like do a picture. I'm always like, you know, okay, here we go. One arm up, one arm down, fucking bicep pose.
Yeah.
What else did you want me to do? Duck face? No, thank you.
Don't forget, there's also another, like, besides the little muscle poses and the gyration, there's also a great one he did on this episode we watched, which I'm glad to see has been there since day one.
This guy had to figure it out early.
Which is the drag the fingertips up your abdomen and get all
kind of
the sweat off.
Gold dust
flick it at people.
In fact, you got that into his signature taunt for a little bit where he just drag his hands all the way up his body from knees to nips and then
like Ric Flair would do the run it through his hair and then flick it at you. No. Touch every glistening muscle, drag it, and then just pop that peck sweat right
at
you.
Every woman in that crowd just all hot and bothered.
Rick Rude was just pretty much the ultimate taunt.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Whole arena of white on.
Just Rick
Rude. Every
time
he came out there.
He was the taunt.
So Rick Rude's both of our number ones, and also Ronnie Garvin is both of our number ones.
Yeah, Ronnie Garvin's balls in
your
face.
Nobody's out there trying to keep an official record of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Is that cagematch.com? Do they have
They've got
all
most
of three
them
counts
up there.
On there?
They've got most of them listed.
There's going to be a lot of annotations on this one. They're going to have to figure
out. They couldn't really figure out what the fuck they were doing. Yeah, but that's all right.
So
maybe next week we'll have it figured out.
We both have good opinions. Yeah. Oh, speaking of next week.
Yeah?
We're going to have a big show coming up next week.
We got a really big show.
Really big show. Last week, we watched some WCW. And then this week, we watched some WWF.
Oh,
we
God.
Always go back and forth.
Oh, God. Are we going to WCW
really
next
bad.
Week?
Nope. Next week, we're giving ourselves a break. Baby Oil and Blow at the Movies number 2.
What?
John Carpenter directs Roddy Roddy Piper in They Live.
Oh, my God.
Come back and check it out. Pop some popcorn. Drink some soda. Maybe get some snow caps, some Sour Patch Kids.
Nate.
Uh-huh.
Nate.
What up?
I came here to kick ass and drink beer.
Uh-huh.
I got so much beer.
That's cool.
So much beer.
We're going to be slurring even more next week than we were this week.
I want to get fall down slightly offensive for it. I'm voting we do it on a Saturday and just get ruined. And just none of it makes sense.
Pushing that bleep button a lot, probably.
Oh, it's going to be the worst show yet. I think
Perfect.
We really should.
Perfect.
I'm excited. Only here on Baby Oil and Blow.